Holy Ghost, open my mind and my understanding to your heart, to your mind, to the light of your word and your truth and your ways. We want to think the thoughts of God. We want to perceive in our understanding your plan, your will, your purpose. Illuminate our mind and understanding in the name of Jesus. Give us ears that hear. Come on, put your hand on your heart for a moment. Oh, Lord, open the eyes of our heart. Flood us with the light of understanding. May we experience your love. May we experience your truth. May we experience your passion and your purpose and your inspiration. May your will fill us and move us into your purposes and plan. May our heart be found in alignment with what you are doing and saying now. We want to love you well, God. We want your word to sink deep within our hearts, that we would be transformed, we would be changed, that the word of God would germinate in our soul and spring up into life. In Jesus' name, quicken us today, God. Give us hearts that are ready to respond to you, not just to be hearers of the word, but ones that listen to it intently with faith as to obey your voice and to do what you've asked of us. We look to you with expectation today, Jesus. We love you. Amen and amen. Excited to be with you guys this morning. I'm going to talk about building capacity. Building capacity, learning to make room for what God is doing and what he wants to do. Preparation is critical to be positioned for where we're going. And that's part of what this season is all about, as we'll jump into. I want to open with a few scriptures to just read for context of some of the things that I will talk in and out of as I kind of exhort and share. I want to start with Isaiah 43. Verses 16 through 21. You guys can follow along. I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, "This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they laid there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." He's talking about when God brought them out of Egypt and swallowed his enemies through the Red Sea. Epic deliverance moment. Epic part of their story, history, our story and history. But then he goes on to say, "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, and the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." Hallelujah. God is doing a new thing. He is. He's moving. He's speaking. He's acting for his own namesake and purposes in our generation. And we must perceive it. Lay hold of it, not cling to the things of the past, but keep in step with the Spirit today. Hallelujah. Second passage I want to read is Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 5. Again, I believe these are prophetic scriptures to us for this season, not just the Word of God is light to us at all times, in all seasons, forever. But there's certain passages and words that God will tend to highlight for things that he's doing to give us instruction or insight to how we can agree with God and partner with God. Isaiah 54, it's amazing. It says, "Sing, barren woman, you who have never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen the stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. Hallelujah. The Word of God. Amazing, this call of faith to a desolate, barren person, just like Sarah of old, Abraham's wife, that was old and barren, impossible, unable to have children, and yet God supernaturally, by his grace and his promise and purpose, caused this woman to become the mother of nations and bring forth descendants that would bring forth ultimately Messiah to save the ends of the earth. In the same way, he's saying to the church, regardless of what you feel is barren, unfruitful, no capacity, no ability, don't look to yourself, don't look to your circumstances. Trust in me and my purpose for your life, because I will bless you. I will multiply you. I will do what I said concerning your life and concerning my church for my own name's sake. By my power, I'm going to do something, but that means prepare the nets. Prepare the tent. Stretch out the tent pegs. Lengthen the cords. Make room. Make space. Enlarge. Make way. Because I'm about to do something that is so numerous that if you don't prepare, you will not be able to contain what I'm going to do. And God is inviting the church to prepare and build in faith, internally and externally, for what he's doing now and what he's about to do. In the same way Noah built the ark in faith for the coming rain that God said, this is coming. No one has even seen rain on the earth yet. And yet I want you to build something. And it took 120 years, you know, for Noah to build while being ridiculed and scoffed at as he was building in faith structures that nobody understood because what was coming no one had ever seen. But yet he still built and labored with his family in faith. And what he built became an ark of salvation for those that he appointed to rebuild a new humanity for his own name. God is doing that in this hour again to build structures, build a people that can contain his presence and glory to release his salvation to the ends of the earth. And we together as individuals, as families, and as this local church and the church in a region, we are building together in faith. Because the rain is falling. The rain begins to fall, but then the dams above and the dams below will break. And a flood that's uncontainable will either wipe us away or will become a structure and a context that can receive all that God wants to do as stewards of the manifold wisdom of God. Woo! Come on, amen. So listen, we need to understand that the stretch and the struggle of this season is setting the stage for God to bring us into a spacious place. Struggle has a purpose. We're being prepared for greater growth internally and externally. We're being prepared for greater stewardship in the kingdom of God so that we can bear supernatural fruit for his glory. This is good. See, before God builds his blueprints or plans in the earth, he builds his people. And his people are his plan and his instrument for his purpose. Come on, say, that's me. I'm part of his purpose and plan in the earth. The church is his instrument to release salvation in the earth. Say he's talking to me. And then say he's talking to you, to your neighbor. It's true. And here's the deal. God is building something in us. And he seeks to also build something through us. But what he does in us comes first. The kingdom of God operates from the inside out. You guys get that? The kingdom operates from the inside out. It's not about external things by themselves. You need the internal reality so that we're living by faith, we're living by truth, we're living by conviction, motivated by love. God's government reigning in the hearts of individuals through surrendered lives and allow his kingdom and his government to find expression through your life. Expansion always begins inside before it manifests outside. When we talk about stretching out your tent, lengthening your cords, making room, it starts internally with your mindsets, your thoughts, your attitudes, your capacity for love, for faith. See, internal capacity in the grace of God, it determines the scope of our external ability to influence even territories and shift regions for the glory of God. Do you know that that's what we're called to do? We are called to influence territories, influence regions, states, nations, atmospheres. The church is meant to loose the grace and government of God in real ways, let alone individuals and families learning to follow Jesus and obey his word and be conformed to his ways. God wants his kingdom to increase in the earth. And the church has a role in that, but it starts with internal capacity. And what we allow God to develop in us will determine what he can actually do through us. The church of Jesus Christ is meant to be a city set on a hill, a kingdom stronghold that manifests heaven on earth so that the world can see what God is really like and what a people look like that live underneath his domain. We are a new humanity, a new society of people, of what it looks like to live within God's wisdom and God's ways, set free from sin, corruption, perversion, fear, insecurity. We're meant to be revealing the goodness of God, the freedom that Christ has given us. Amen? Our capacity must be built. Capacity is something that grows, that expands. It doesn't just happen. And we grow by going low. Come on, say, we grow by going low. Humility comes before glory and honor. You know, and when we bow before God, he builds. Woo! It's true. Now, I want you to see something here real quick. So I'm going to use my prop for a moment. So, now, not all of you can see this, but let's take this one bottle as representing twofold, because I want us to think of this in two domains, okay? Personally, as an individual, but also as a church community. Personal and as a church community. And when I say personal, this also bleeds into your household, your family. Fathers, mothers, right? So this is both personal and individual. Now listen, we were saved to know God intimately and to be conformed to his image, but also for a purpose. We're partners in God's mission in the earth. Are you with me? And so we have a purpose that God wants to bestow upon us. Let's see if that will work in the same way. We'll see. Okay. This may not serve my purpose, but we'll see. I'll make adjustments as we go. But this, let's say this is the divine purpose, the divine assignment, divine calling, what God would have you do. One day, you as an individual and the leaders of this community, we will stand before God and take account for what he has given us. You will stand before God as an individual and take account for what he has given you. And whether you have been faithful or not faithful. When you stand before God, you're not going to be standing with your spouse. You're accountable for you. Your heart, your life, your choices, your decisions, your beliefs. And the God-given purpose, roles, responsibilities, assignments on your life. We have a purpose. Hallelujah. And something that we're to steward in this life and one day be able to give back to the Lord. Amen? And so this represents that kind of purpose, that stewardship, that calling, that assignment in this life that, again, may have iterations in terms of seasons and how that unfolds. And so here's the individual of the church. Now, you might get a sense that this thing can stand on there, but you know, one, if we're not centered in Christ and living in alignment, you're off just a little bit. It's not going to stand, right? But let's say you begin to get a perception of the heart of God, the mind of God. You're trying to live in alignment. Nonetheless, to build capacity, there's things that we have to increase and install into our life and let God to produce in us. You know, the Bible says, add to your faith virtue. And add to virtue knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, unto brotherly kindness, unto love. There's a progression of God continuing to change you, develop you, cultivate you, and make you more like him. You know, in the Orthodox world, they call this thing called theosis. It's literally conformity to his nature. It's what we understand as sanctification. You're being made more and more like God himself. It's what Mark Fee was talking about, the image of God being restored in your life. You are meant to be as your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. You are meant to be as God in the earth. Huh? Yes. The church is the very body of Christ, the fullness of him in the earth. Amazing. That when the world sees us or sees your life, they say, I see God. Just like God said to Moses, I'm going to make you like God to Pharaoh. How much more the church of Jesus Christ, the pillar and foundation of truth, the church of the living God. Amazing. So we have to grow and build capacity. We're being changed, amen? But we start with a seed of potential. Key strengths, gifts, divine abilities that God has given you already. But now you have to develop those things, and that doesn't happen by itself. You have to choose growth. When we get born again, the Bible describes it as you become an infant in Christ, and we have to long for the pure milk of the word that we could grow in respect to salvation. But you can choose, unfortunately, and fortunately, because it's the wisdom and ways of God, to stay an infant if you fail to grow and learn the lessons you're meant to learn. If we fail to obey what he's asked us, we will always stay in spiritual infancy. If we always live carnally and never reform our life according to the word of God, and we still live like or think like the ways of the world without renewing our mind, we will always stay spiritually immature. And spiritual immaturity will never have the capacity to steward the grace, calling, mandate of God. You have to build and grow other skill sets, other knowledge into your life or into our community to steward what God's called you to. So, you know, you might have this spiritual strength here. You might have, man, I love Jesus. I'm passionate. I have a heart for the Word of God. And spiritual capacity is important. But what about all these other factors? This is where this may not work for my purpose. Let me just do it for a second and see if we can get it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll do it, I think. We have to build other structures, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit what those things are. I just want you to see this. And when we start building in the other things that give us capacity, we can contain what God wants to do. Right? Now look. This is kind of heavy. But you can add more. Oh, wait, there's more. And wait, there's more. And if I had more props, I could keep stacking. Do you know those that are faithful in the kingdom get more? More. Those that don't, faithful, you lose. and it's actually given to those that are faithful. This is part of the law of increase and multiplication. Stewardship equals multiplication. Stewardship equals multiplication, not stagnation, where you bury the talent, you bury what give you, and just hold ground, hold steady. No, the kingdom increases. That's why we must increase in virtue, increase in knowledge, increase in skills, increase in abilities, so that we can honor God for his own glory and do the things he's called us to do. There's a weight of glory he wants to give us. There is a church he is building, and he's building you. He's building me. He's building us. But it requires increased capacity. Do you think that one bottle could have done that? No, it's not enough. It would be unbalanced. So I just wanted you to see this as a visual as we talk about this. And listen, building personal and church capacity means intentionally strengthening the whole of our lives and the whole of the congregation, not just adding activity. A helpful way to think about this is deepening spiritual life, strengthening relationships, and then building the people, the systems, the resources that are necessary to fully live in your God-given purpose so that we can carry the mission long term. And this is part of where we are right now, church. I tell you, as a leadership team, and I know as an individual, we are all laboring to let God reshape us, reform us, retool us, to be prepared for what is now and what is coming. Because where we have come from and where we are going requires increased capacity across every level of our lives. This is important to understand so that we can participate. We can't stay where we are. We all have to grow. You know, and everything starts with identity. Last time I shared, I talked about identity upgrade. And then I love what Mark brought over the last 2 weeks, because everything he reiterated and compounded these truths, that identity is everything, and everything flows from the place of identity. Your function, your mission, and your fruitfulness are all informed by who we are and the reality of the revelation that we actually possess about God. You know, Mark talked about that we, our fundamental identity is that we're precious children of God who have been loved. But our function and purpose has to do with being an image bearer that expresses who God is, as he really is. Loving other people as we have been loved by him, right? And I'll tell you, it is so key in this season when we talk about building capacity, growing in capacity, it has to do with your ability to receive and abide in God's love. Truly. To abide in his love. To let your heart be fully persuaded. Because God is trying to restore our hearts to love God completely, wholeheartedly. So that we can also love others more purely. And then also labor in fruitful work that's motivated authentically by faith and love. And not pressure or anything else. You know, I shared a word some time back about the church of Sardis. And the Lord saying, listen, I see your works and they're incomplete. God is after something, encouraging us to strengthen what remains, lest it die. And that's why God is purifying the why and the how we serve. God is purifying the why and how we lead, the why and how we build. God is restoring internal and relational order before releasing external increase. And this got to hit every one of us at every level, from our young people, in our families, our marriages, to our community, friendships, and relationships. At every level, God wants deep covenantal love, deep unity, deep brotherly love for each other, the bond of perfection, so the enemy can't divide, hinder, defile, because division is literally decay that will cause this thing to collapse. And in this season, man, it's been trying. It's been a trial. It's been God's divine orchestration as well. And God's not just trying to fix what we do. He's healing people's why and reforming how we do what we do. I said this to Sean the other night. I said, buffeting comes before building. You know? being buffeted. And preparation always precedes the possessing of promise and of productivity in the kingdom. Consecration always comes before conquest. Humility always comes before honor. Death always comes before life. And these are cycles that happen over and over and over again in our life. And when God is doing a new thing in the earth, and he's ready to release the next phase of an assignment, or in transitional times, you have to understand what is normal. It is normal in great transitions like we are in, and like the earth in so many places are in, that there is dismantling. There is deconstruction. There is uprooting. There is shaking. There is disorientation that happens. Real warfare. Angst of the unknown, there's upheaval. There's always destruction before production. Do you know that one of the key things that was part of Jesus' discipleship process was deconstruction? He had to literally come and challenge and rattle their fundamental worldview. He had to challenge their expectations, their beliefs, and their attitudes at a deep level. They expected a Messiah in a very particular way. He had to reorient them to kingdom reality, not the traditions of man or things they've always been taught. How many of you are being shaken from the things you think you've always known, always been taught, always understood, or the way things have always been? God is changing, shaking, breaking, dismantling in order to bring us into alignment and the purity of what he has for this hour and for this assignment. He's tooling us and reshaping us. It's all preparation to cross a threshold into a new space in the Lord, to occupy in a new way. You know, there's always conflict at these transition points, especially at the edge of breakthrough. Chris Valentin said this cool phrase. He said, "The dogs of doom always stand at the doors of destiny." The idea is that there's always contention at the gates of divine inheritance. There's always fight that tries to get you to shrink back, get worn out, worn down, right before the breakthrough. The battle is fiercest to try to get you to give up when breakthrough is right there. The enemy wants to give a mirage that things are hopeless, give way to despair, get tired and weary in well-doing and shrink back. When God's like, no, 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 believe me and you'll see breakthrough. You'll see the work. Right? And in this time of contention, God uses it to refine us. God uses it to purify us. God uses it to get out all the things that are not going to help us build in the next season, that are not compatible with his purpose in your heart and your life. You know, Psalm 66, 8 through 12, it's powerful, but you see God's purpose. King David says, "Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us into a place of abundance." That's the ways of God. He refines the hearts of man. Through hurt, through rejection, through affliction, through hardship, by drawing you into places where you feel captive, imprisoned, stuck, waiting, accusation. Men get to ride over your heads. That's normal. And when God does this to buffet you here and here, and to build in you the things necessary to prepare you to come into a new space where you can occupy, knowing the faithfulness and goodness of God. God's good like that. And you know, we cannot build old things. We cannot build on old things if we're trying to sustain the new thing that God is doing. We have to keep in step with the Spirit and continue to let him repurpose us for greater partnership. And when God is trying to enlarge our understanding of heart, or our realm of influence, our measure of entrustment, it always feels vulnerable and uncomfortable. And it requires faith as we make adjustments, as we stretch. The unknown feels scary for people, doesn't it? Humans are prone to control. And when things get outside of our control, we tend to get angry, frustrated, on edge. We're trying to find ways to cope so that we have some sense of security or stability. often those things, they become idolatrous. Or even if they seem like healthy things, they become refuges that we lean upon. That God's like, no, 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 I want you to learn to lean on me in all of your ways. And then let me build something new into your life where you get to do things that you've not done before. And doing things in a new way or a different way requires learning. It requires that humility. Come on, you ever try to do things that just you're not used to doing? That just feels so awkward, so vulnerable? Come on. Yeah. And all real learning comes with feelings of unlearning. You always feel awkward when you're trying to do new things. And that's normal part of the process. We just have to learn to lean into it. We can't cling to the past. The old things will not serve us where we're called to go. And often in transition into new things or into new ways of thinking, new ways of operating, new behaviors, this is why Mark was reiterating that whole idea. How do you actually experience transformation? You need real relational experiences over time that retrain you on how to think, feel, believe, act, speak. And that in the beginning, it feels awkward, it feels wrong, it feels vulnerable, it feels counterintuitive. But that's normal when it comes to forging a new way. But you have to persevere in that in order to build capacity. Does that make sense? And often when we're trying to do new things, we get faced with all the things that try to hinder us and bring us back in the old. We get ensnared by these old ways. And if we persevere, we'll break into learning how to operate from a place of peace and operate in a whole new reality from a new understanding, a new revelation, aligned with the assignment and the season that we're in. Does that make sense? Psalm 119 says, when you enlarge my heart, I'll run in the way of your commandments. God is into enlarging our hearts, enlarging our lives and our capacity that we could follow him more accurately, more purely from the heart. Amen? Capacity is not accidental. It's intentional conditioning. You know, building capacity requires reconditioning, a renovation of sorts, kind of like clay on the potter's wheel. It's expanded from the inside out. It's set in a position to be reshaped. It's made wet to become pliable. You guys know the potter's process? You guys familiar with it? They have to first set the clay and center it on the wheel, and then they have to press and guide the clay until it spins smoothly without wobbling. Think about your life, getting pressed, repositioned, recentered, realigned. And this requires strength and patience, focus. And then once it's centered, the potter begins to open up the clay by pressing their fingers deep into its heart to form a small well. God is pressing into people's core heart to open up a deep place in the soul. And to expand capacity, the potter has to learn to draw the walls upward and outward. And this takes time. It takes time to widen it. Again, we have to recenter continually, adjust the speed, the moisture, so things don't get destroyed. But the vessel is expanded very intentionally. And then it's trimmed, it's dried to harden, it's put in a fire, and the process strengthens it to contain the new shape needed for its intended purpose. And here's another visual I want to give us here. It's when we talk about expanded capacity, we're talking also about wineskins, frameworks, structures. You know, a wineskin is like a portable delivery system to share wine with others. And in our life and in our community, what God wants to do in us is make us portable dispensers of God's goodness and love. And as a community, that we're reshaped in such a way to give away what God has entrusted us with, right? And in this process, things have to be softened, beat, rubbed with oil, prepared to stretch. I want to share quickly this 7-step process of preparing a wineskin that I thought is visual and meaningful in terms of when we think about process and what God's doing with us and in us. And I'm not going to deep dive in any of these. I just want you to see, because I think it's very, when we talk about God reshaping a wineskin, reforming our hearts, our minds, our community relationships, our structures to accommodate what he's doing, we need to understand some of what that is. So In this process of preparing a wineskin, number one, it's made from an animal skin. That means something has to die. Transitioning out of the old and into the new, do you know things have to die in you? Old ways have to die. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple and follow me, you have to pick up your cross daily. Deny yourself. Right? The cost of discipleship is an invitation to come and die. To die to the old, that you might live in the ways of God. And so, in seasons like this or being reshaped, it means surrender and death. It doesn't mean entitlement. It doesn't mean clinging to your life in your old ways. It doesn't mean maintaining your sense of control. It is a life surrender to follow Jesus. It is presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to God to let him do what he wants to do in your life. Number two, it was cut. The wineskin was cut from the rear leg for its shape of the animal. And the idea is that the leg and the rear shape, this thing will affect your walk. It will affect your life. How you do life, how you do relationships, how you pray. It will produce humility in you. In the same way that the angel touched Jacob's hip and he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Being reshaped will break you in ways that need to be broken, that affect how you live your life with others in community and how you walk with God. I mean, this is what the Lord requires. What does God require of us but to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with your God? Humility is so important that we're living for him and his glory, not our own will. Christ died that we would not live for ourselves, but for the will of God. Number three, the flesh needed to be removed. And for us, the fleshly carnal mind has to be removed. All the things in our ways of thinking and operating that oppose the mind of the Spirit. The call to repentance is part of this preparation of being reshaped. To think like God, but it means stop thinking like mere humans. Stop thinking like the ways of the world according to the spirit of the world or the traditions of the world. Think according to the word of God. This is a real process, and what we've been in, the call to repentance, the call to renew our thinking. We have to set our minds on things of the Spirit, learn to walk according to the Spirit. And in that way, we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. We learn to be a people of the Spirit, setting their minds on things of the Spirit, that we can walk in all the ways of peace. And when we can walk in the ways of peace and the ways of the Spirit, we're not going to be fighting against the plans of God. We're actually going to be participating with it because we'll understand it. Make sense? We won't be like Peter, who had in mind the things of man and rebuked Jesus for even daring to say that he would go to the cross. Jesus said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are only thinking according to the ways of man. You're not discerning divine purposes. Often we get offended because we don't really know or understand divine purposes. We're still thinking according to natural understanding and intellect, or according to your sense of rights, or where your offense or your hurt gets exalted against the ways of God. Rather than humility, understanding of God's intention and purpose, forgiveness, mercy, covering. Number four, after the flesh is removed, the flesh dynamic is stripped, then it needed to be clean and scrubbed with water. Right? And this is the whole idea of being renewed, washed by the water of his word. Truly being renewed, cleansed by truth. Jesus says, sanctify your people by truth. Your word is truth. And man, we need time to be in the scriptures. I mean, I'm telling you, and I'm not saying, this is not a legalistic statement. There's so many believers, they don't read or meditate upon the scriptures. Once, maybe twice a week, maybe three times a week. Maybe 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, while they're inundated with hours and hours of other content, information, podcasts, media, news, entertainment. But they have so little of the word, and they wonder why they're at odds with the things of God. Friends, you want to build capacity, it requires being washed by the water of the word, filling yourself with the truth of the word of Christ. Five,
This wineskin's then placed in a fire. And it's God's refining fire. And it's God uses affliction and hardship to do that. And what that does for the wineskin is it makes it both tough and flexible. Come on, don't you know that where we're going in culture and in life and even in healthy relationships, you need to have a spiritual hardening and toughness with flexibility? Because if you're just too rigid, you get broken and you tend to break others. Versus, hey, we have to be able to, you know, because love suffers long, right? Love is patient. Patience, forbearance, long-suffering, perseverance under severe circumstances requires a measure of toughness. Grit. That's kingdom people right there. That's you, that's me. We're meant to be overcomers, but that requires tenacity, resilience, right? That allows you to endure, but it also requires that tender humility, flexibility before God and with people. Make sense? And fire does that. Refining fire helps you be more flexible, more fluid, more reasonable. You know, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, without hypocrisy, and willing to be reasonable. Wisdom from above is not some black and white, hard, stiff, rigid thing. You even see God make relational compromises with his people based on their capacity all the time. Why? Because God is a good father, not trying to exasperate or not trying to break a bruised reed or extinguish a flickering wick. He's a wonderful shepherd who loves his people and walks with them where they are, even though he will lovingly challenge them and stretch them to the next place. But wisdom from above has the ability to be fluid and flexible, not overly rigid. Make sense? And of course, number six is there was a strategic, skillful hand to work in it to flip it inside out. This wineskin had to be turned inside out to get at the heart of the thing, to make sure it was properly conditioned and prepared to hold the wine. You ever feel like things just get turned inside down, upside down in your life? Feels like, what the heck's going on? Nothing's going right. One fire to another, out of the fire, into the frying pan type deal. That's all part of God's process and training. To get to the heart. To get to the heart, because God wants the heart right. And then lastly, they seal this thing with oils and resins. You know, the anointing means smeared with oil. And the idea is that we're meant to be continually filled with him. There is a preparation, just like a wineskin. We are being prepared in various iterations by the hand of God so that our heart is made right and that the structures relationally, organizationally, financially, people-wise, everything is being enlarged to contain the grace and the wine and purpose that we are being made for. We are being remade for the mission of God to release his goodness on the earth. Amen? And we build block by block. We integrate new practices that increase strength. We add new rhythms into our life that cause us to grow. And often that's where we feel weak. Where things are hard. If you only work on your strengths, you're going to be lopsided. You won't have the capacity. You need to personally build capacity in the areas where you're weak, boasting in weakness that God can produce divine strength and bring forth something that doesn't exist in you yet. And then also know your need for the body of Christ, that you don't have it all, that you were put into a family with different gifts, ability, wisdom, understandings that you also need. For capacity, for counsel, for wisdom to walk in the ways of God. It's a both and. But nonetheless, it takes effort to let God work these new ways in us, to add new blocks that help us build strength and capacity. See, we're not saved by works, but we definitely grow by exerting divine effort in the grace of God. Does that make sense? That's why the scriptures can say things like, make every effort. Paul says, I strived and labored with all pains to see Christ formed in you. He strove in the grace of God, not for love, but because he was loved. And he knew that there was a mission, there was a mandate that he must be faithful to and required his partnership to be poured out like a drink offering. And that's part of our invitation, but it must be from the right heart. And that's why God, in this season of reset and rest and Sabbathing the heart, is to get to the roots so that we can live and love and labor from the right place. Amen? And so things like spiritual capacity have to do with increased depth and hunger and health and maturity in our relationships with God and each other. It's the engine for everything else. And that means engaging in greater places of fasting and prayer and worship and scripture, of listening. Like, how can you increase your spiritual capacity? How can you be intentional in growth? How can you do more listening to know what God has asked of you? How can you lean in to the Spirit of God? Just doing what is comfortable won't do it. Just telling you. Just doing what's comfortable won't do it. Mark referenced his journey with trying to build muscles, right? And how he did it faithfully for a year. But he didn't grow. And he's like, what's the deal? It's all about how you do what you do. If there isn't increased resistance, you don't get the right stimulation to grow. And that's the way it is in the kingdom. You got to sow in greater ways, sacrificial ways, to be increased, right? And when we do, when we lean into Jesus, you can even pass through the valley of weeping and make it a spring. Because that is the heart that trusts in the Lord. They set their heart on a pilgrimage. They're looking with longing to Jesus alone, knowing that nothing else will satisfy. The heart of it all is Jesus. It's about you. It's about your kingdom. I live to love you, to know you, to please you. And if that is central and real and alive, everything else is like dominoes and comes way easier. Because you have the internal capacity by the Spirit to embrace the other things, like relational capacity, which is about forging healthy relationships, Christ-centered relationships, in the church, outside the church, with how you relate to people. God wants to increase our relational capacity in this house, in your families, in your marriage, amongst your friends, of your participation in the life of the church. Increase relational capacity. Learning to have hard conversations. Where you persevere in love and hear each other, love each other, forgive each other. You know, that's a skill that takes intentionality and effort to increase capacity. People shrink back from that because they just don't like it. They'd rather just avoid it. But to grow, you must lean into it. This is important. Organizational and structural capacity. Whether in your home, your own life, you might need some new systems, new planning, new rhythms and routines in your life. I know as a leadership team, we are working to implement new ways of communication and structures necessary to help our community be healthy and grow for where we are now and for where we're going. It takes work, a lot of it, and discernment. What is right for where we are and who we are and what we're called to do? Because the wineskin has to serve the wine. Right? It's not about the wineskin. The wineskin serves the wine. So part of that is, who am I? Where am I? Where am I called to go? What am I called to do? And how am I organizing my life to serve that purpose? And that takes time to get clarity and then implementation of these structures that increase capacity. Same thing with like financial capacity in your life. What are you called to do? Where are you called to go? What do you want to give? Or how are you stewarding resources? How are you aligned in mission and purpose for your house, your family, for the kingdom, for the church? This takes work to increase capacity. And again, there's so many other pillars of capacity we could talk about, but for time's sake, I'm not going to talk about them. But I will say this. Without building greater capacity, we will not be able to contain what God wants to give. And if we try to prematurely take on what God wants to give without proper preparation and limited capacity, everything will feel crushing and we'll be unable to steward what God wants to entrust us with. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, Israel... We can have the worship team come up too. Israel in the wilderness is always a great picture for all of us, because they were called out of something in order to be brought into something. Look at me. They were called out to go into. This was the purpose. But they could not go into something because they were not properly prepared. They did not partner with God to let Egypt get out of them. God took them out of Egypt, but Egypt did not get out of them. In their thinking, in their beliefs, in their behaviors, they failed to learn the lessons of the tests. And because of that, they wandered in the wilderness. They failed to grow. And they continued to stumble. They continued to challenge God, test God, to where they wandered for 40 years. Now listen, God was still with them in the wilderness. Even the generation that missed their divine purpose, that's a scary thought. And it is not beyond us to feel like we can delay things in our life based on disobedience. Look at me. You can delay things in your life based on your disobedience. God is gracious and God is committed to his purpose in our life. But he will not force you to do anything. He wants to will and do in you according to his own pleasure. But you must work with him in the fear of the Lord, in submission to his mission, submission to his hand and purpose. Make sense? Israel did not fulfill their purpose in that season. That generation did not, but a few. And they perished in the wilderness. God was with them. He still provided for them and loved them to the end. But then another generation had to arise that would believe him, be circumcised, and be able to go in and possess the promise that God had always intended for his people. Does that make sense? Unbelief and disobedience and lack of participating with God's work in these transitional seasons, it doesn't stop God's faithfulness, but it definitely can delay our fulfillment and kingdom assignment. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. Hopefully you don't want that. We want to be hungry and contend and let God build capacity or ask questions. God, where do I need to build capacity? Where am I blind? Where am I weak? What needs to be added, integrated into my life, into my relationships, into my family, into our community to help us build what you want to build so that we can bear the glory of the purpose and calling you've bestowed upon us. So where is God stretching you in this season? What patterns have to be surrendered in your life? Are you aware of the patterns that are unhelpful to where you're called to go? You got to wage war against those things. Can't make peace with it. Can't tolerate it. Can't coexist with it. If you coexist, you'll be ensnared. If you coexist with those things, you'll be conquered by those things. When God wants fullness for you, increase for you, he wants to bless you, expand you. But we have to identify the things that are unhelpful. What disciplines or new practices do you need to embrace? Come on, block by block, rep by rep. What do you need to be doing over and over and again, installing, doing? I'm talking about relational patterns, conversational patterns, sleep patterns, financial patterns. Think about every domain of your life. The whole of your life has to be considered when you talk about increasing capacity. What are the places God's trying to highlight that you want to focus on? This is kind of what it takes. Otherwise, we just kind of wonder, what am I doing? What's going on in this season? Versus like, no, stand still. Hear the voice of God. Submit to his hand. Cast all your cares upon him. He knows your weakness. But his power is made perfect there. And he'll take you through and lift you up in due time. But in the meantime, even while you're being buffeted, attacked, pressured, hard-pressed, even if the enemy is roaring about like a lion trying to devour you, guess what? The God of all grace, he'll let you suffer for a while, but he's using it to perfect you, complete you, restore you, make you ready for everything he's intended for his own namesake, his own glory. This is real. But in the meantime, you say, where do I submit to God? Truly, where do I submit to my brothers and sisters? Where do I submit to my leaders? Where do I submit to the shepherds of my life and let God do the work he wants to do in me? Get focused on the voice of the commander that we could be doing the things that lead to progress, that lead to growth in the grace of God. And corporately, we want to commit to formation. We want to commit to letting ourselves be reshaped, not just attending a service. You know what I'm saying? This is a lifestyle thing. This is about how you do life. We want to choose humility over control in our personal lives, in our families, in our relationships. We got to lean into discomfort with faith. Come on, let's stand and respond to the Lord. Lord, I pray that you enlarge our hearts, that you condition us for increase, that you build in us what you desire so that you can release through us all that you've purposed. God, would you make us a city on a hill, a light to the world, a people capable of carrying your glory for this generation and the generations to come. God, would you deliver us from the schemes of the enemy and from the deceptions of sin that bring us into bondage and liberate us into the spacious place that you have purposed for us, O God. Help us build capacity that you could build your work in and through our lives in the name of Jesus. Come on, just begin to respond to the Lord for a few minutes here. By the things you need to release and the things you need to be implementing and practicing. What needs to be installed into your life? What areas have you neglected that need your attention? Lord, grant us grace to be diligent. To be diligent and not sluggish in the things you've required of us in this hour. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you father us and chastise us for your own glory and purpose. Thank you that you're helping us build divine capacity. Come and have your way in us. Increase our spiritual hunger. Increase our relational health. Increase, oh God, the wisdom we have to implement structures and rhythms and routines conducive to your voice, your presence, and purpose. Come and have your way. Your name be glorified, your kingdom come, your will be done. Come on, just begin to talk to God. Right where you are, just begin to talk to him. Some of you may not even know Jesus in this place. And that is the first place of capacity building. You were created for a divine purpose. And Jesus came to restore you, to redeem you, to set you free, and to open your capacity by first making you his, by causing you to be born from above, born again by the Spirit of God. And we don't do that by earning. We do that by surrendering to Jesus Christ, who died for your sin, who is buried, who is raised from the dead and declared to be Lord of all. And if you put your hope in this one that died for you, that you could be reconciled to God and who was raised to make you right before God, restored in life, I want to encourage you to put your hope in Jesus. The scriptures say, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Put your hope in Jesus, even now. May your heart be awakened and expanded by becoming a child of God today. Come on, let's just all respond to him and lift our voice for a few minutes.